Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution made possible, as always, by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Remember, with our InvestTalk podcast, you can participate. The podcast is produced every weekday, except holidays, from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific time. So just make your call and join in the conversation. You can talk directly with Steve or Justin. The number, 888-99-CHART, and we'll be talking with you.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of InvestTalk. It is Friday the 13th, okay? Friday the 13th. Did anybody know where that came from? That being bad luck, Friday the 13th? It has a religious connotation to it. There was 12 people at the Last Supper. Actually, there was 13 people at the Last Supper. And it was on Thursday, and Friday is when they crucified Jesus. Friday the 13th. Ooh. Above average investing for the average investor. That's what we're all about on this bad luck day. We're looking ahead. Do you know that the stock market performs better on Friday the 13th than in normal Fridays? Over the 100 years they've been keeping track? So it's not bad luck for the stock market on Friday the 13th. Okay, we know that the day will come when you're gonna need financial independence. You're going to need more money. You're going to need to live off your investments. Yeah, you'll get Social Security and all that stuff, but you're going to have to stop working at some time, or they'll be making you stop working. We talked about that just yesterday. Not everybody is going to be able to work longer, even if they want to. You're just not going to be able to do it. So what are we going to do about that? Here on the show, we try to answer questions live during the hour, 4 to 5 Pacific time, or you can leave your questions on our 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART, and we'll get to that in just a minute, 888-992-4278. Today, we're going to talk about fraud-busting investing tips for 2017. Yes, they're out there with new ways to separate you from your money, thieves, and that's going to be one of our talking points today. It's Friday, so we'll take a look at our premium newsletter that I write and send out this morning. Do it every Friday, as you know. Goes out in email form to all the clients, anybody who wants to buy it. The first section is always about the current market conditions, and there wasn't much economic news this week. Monday and Friday had all the economic news, and in the middle of the week had pretty much nothing. But whatever came out this week was fairly positive. You know, we look at the Trump rally. How long is it likely to last? Are we seeing clues that warn us of a possible correction soon? So I talk about those kinds of things in the newsletter. Stock market prices are overvalued. There's little argument about that. No one is really, disputing that the market's not overvalued. However, there are a couple little signals out there that says it's still going to go up and maybe it's not overvalued. I talk about the money goes either to stocks or goes to bonds. Those are the two major markets. And when bonds look valuable, money flows to bonds. When they compare the bonds, especially the 10-year treasury, with stocks, and the stocks look like they can earn more than the bonds, money goes to stocks. There's a competition between those two sets of assets. And I talk about it in the newsletter. There's a couple stock ideas today. Won't tell you who they are, but there was a couple of stock ideas every Friday. Portfolio management section talked about constantly looking at the next big winner. When everybody's trying to search for that next big winner on the market, everybody thinks they're going to get rich quick. And we're talking about, that's not the proper way to invest over any length of time. Can you get rich quick in the market? Of course you can. But will you? No, you're not. It's like the lottery. You can get rich, but you got to get rich slowly. It takes time. And most people don't have the patience for that. Not in our society. Our society wants everything now. Doesn't work that way. You can want everything now, but it doesn't work that way. Finally, in our Consumer Watch section, I talk about the financial worries of consumers. What are they? And we just go into that a little bit. If you'd like to try a month risk-free, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. We're up for any money questions on InvestTalk. Let's begin the Q&A. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Robert. I would like to know, when are we going to have a correction? We haven't had a correction, I guess, since, what, 2008? I always was under the impression that the transportation index led the correction. Looks like we just made a new high. Well, not just, but I just want to know when you think that correction is on its way. Are the percentages likely this year, or are the percentages heavier next year? Thank you.
Well, let me go ahead and get that crystal ball of mine out and see if I can, you know, read it. There's no way to know when the next correction. By the way, the last significant correction was in the summer of 2011. The 2008 was not a correction. That was a bear market. What's the difference between a bear market and a correction? A bear market is where the major indexes go below 20% or more. And the S&P went down 45%. A correction is anywhere from maybe 5% to 20%. Corrections, usually you have an average 10% correction one a year. We had one a year ago, January, was 10%. Then we had another one, I think it was May, of about 7%. Another one in August, about 5 or 6%. Those are three things we had last year. So far, ever since the election, the market's been rallying. I do think we're starting to see some cracks in the rally. And you're right. You're talking about the Dow theory. The Dow theory, when you mentioned the transportation index. When the Dow 30 goes down and the transportation index goes down and confirms the downstroke in the Dow, that means the market has changed direction. That's the Dow theory. Well, there's more to it than that, so don't send me emails. Talk to me about how it works. I know how it works. I'm just trying to make it simple here. So the transportation confirms the Dow both on the upside and the downside, the transportation sector. And there's reasons for it. The transportation sector is not making new highs. Matter of fact, its new high it made was in, December? Yeah, its high was made in December, and it's been coming off with a little couple, 3 days of rally here, but it's below its high. Now, if you look at the Dow is flattened, and it has not started to go down yet. It's flattened. So the transportation index is getting weaker, whereas the Dow is staying level. But neither one of them in the last few weeks are rising. Neither one of them. Are we going to see a correction? We're overdue for one. We're going to have a correction. I can't tell you when exactly or how deep exactly. And nobody can. If anybody tells you they can, they're lying. It's not possible. Been doing this way too long. It is unpredictable. You can do probabilities. The probability of a correction is pretty high. The probability of at least a 10% correction is pretty high. Doesn't have to happen. Could be more or less. So how soon? It could be fairly soon. Or it could be not till summer. I don't know. It's hard to know. Don't try to guess. It's just impossible to guess. You try to guess the stock market, you'll lose money. You don't guess. Fraud busting investing tips for 2017. That's one of our main talking points today. Also going to talk about video game store, GameStop. Why am I going to talk about that? Well, I'll tell you why I'm going to talk about it. When I talk about it, ways to get your spouse to save money. Are you married or have a significant other that is a spender and you're not? How can you get on the same page? This money is one of the main things that breaks up couples. Did you know that? That's one of the main things. And saving money is, you have to be on the same page. So we're going to give you some, I'm going to try to give you some hints and maybe some little helpful hints to try to get you both on the same page. And life lessons learned too late. Us old people learn these lessons. Young people don't want to pay attention. But I'm going to give you a lot, those lessons learned too late. And anybody who's young and listening to this show, you might want to pay a little bit of attention to it, because after you lived a number of years, they're just life lessons. You learn them over the years. So what do you want to talk about? The market was mixed, with the Dow down 5 points, the NASDAQ up 27, and the S&P up 4. So, oh, broadly speaking, the market would be up a little bit today, because the Dow is only 30 stocks, where the S&P 500 is 500 stock, and the NASDAQ is 100 stocks, NASDAQ 100. So, you know, it's broader. The market on a broader sense was up today. 888-99-CHARS is our number, 888-992-4278. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley. I'm glad you're here today. Why not know what your risk tolerance is? Why wouldn't you want to know that? Have you ever wondered what your risk tolerance is? What is the risk that you would accept? Do you have a concept of that? There's a way to find out. We have a risk tool, analysis tool on our website. Just try it. Go to investtalk.com.
Hi, this is Constance in Atlanta. I was quite curious about the peso taking a dive, if this would be a good time to buy a Mexican company. I was looking at American Mobil, AMX. Love to hear from you on your radio. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, so this is American Mobil SAB ADR, ADR, American Depository Receipt, meaning it's a Mexico company traded on our exchange, the New York Stock Exchange. Mexican provider, wireless voice data. And she's talking about the peso because it's a Mexican company and it earns its money in Mexican pesos, but you're buying this stock with American dollars. So if the peso goes down, the stock, you know, you won't make it, when you translate that peso into American dollars, you won't get as much money in American dollars because the peso is getting cheaper compared to the dollar. So not only do you have to look at the company is and how solid it is, you have to figure out, well, how about the currency relationship? Because if the dollar goes down, then a Mexican company looks a lot better making money in pesos. Did you understand that? And so that gets pretty complex in trying to figure out what direction the dollar is going compared to other currencies. It gets pretty complex. Now, looking at AMX, American Mobil, in and of itself, it made 66 cents a share last year. It's going to make 42 cents. Well, let me take that back. It made that in 2015. In 2016, it made 42 cents, or at least that's the estimate because they haven't got the fourth quarter numbers in yet. In 2017, it's estimated to almost double to 80 cents. So that looks pretty good. But it's hard to understand how that's going to work when sales are going down quarter after quarter after quarter, and they're still going down in the most recent quarter. That has to turn around for me to believe they're going to make 80 cents, right? Because it's an estimate. We don't know for sure. Pays a 2.3% dividend. Now, let's go back to the dollar-peso relationship. Do you think it's over? When I say it's over, do you think the weakness of the peso is over compared to the dollar? And if you're going to ask me, I'm going to say no, it's not over. Because remember, Trump hasn't even been inaugurated yet. And what's one of the things that he's talking about? He's talking about, you know, they're going to make Mexico build a wall and we're going to, you know, take back our jobs from them. And if he is successful in any of that, in any way, shape, or form, the peso is going to continue to go down against the dollar. So you're bucking the wishes and dictates of a president of the United States, and I would not like to make that bet. It's too of an unknown to me. I wouldn't try it. I would not. This is Invest Talk. Remember, we're not all about stocks and bonds. Maybe in this big economy, you're thinking of starting a business. In this gig economy? I'm not sure what that means. What? Want a sounding board about starting a new business? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART. Mike is holding from Vallejo. Well, let's go ahead and talk to Mike in Vallejo. How you doing, Mike?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm good. I appreciate it. I'm glad it's Friday. I'm not so sure about Friday the 13th, but I'm glad it's Friday.
Exactly. So I'm calling because I'm quite new to the stock market. I just made myself an E-Trade account last week.
Okay.
So my knowledge is pretty much nothing, but what I've been reading about is investing in real estate stocks. And I just wanted some other opinions on that, because what kind of caught me was the dividends on those stocks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the answer is no, you don't invest in real estate stocks yet. You're too new. Okay, I know you probably don't want to hear that. But Mike, what you should start with is you should start with investing in index funds, ETFs for index. And that's the SPY for the S&P 500, the QQQ for the NASDAQ 100, and the DIA for the Dow. There's other indexes, but you should start there. Real estate stocks, or real estate REITs, real estate investment trusts is what you've been, what you're talking about, are good investments. There's a good way to get into real estate without having to buy properties yourself. But you have to learn when is a good time. Real estate, we've already had a big run in prices in real estate. Interest rates have already had crashed now, and now it looks like they might start peaking up. This is not the time to buy real estate. This is not the time.
All right.
Okay?
So pretty much looking to the big players make a diverse portfolio.
Correct. And then just keep learning. Because you just started, keep learning. Then you eventually, when you start growing that portfolio, eventually you're going to get into buying different ETFs, and then eventually buying stocks, and making sure. But you'll understand risks and spreading your risks and diversifications as you learn more and more and more. You'll learn more how to do it, and it's extremely important that you learn that first. Okay, Mike.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, too many people say, well, I'm going to buy Disney. I like Disney. They had a really, they made a really good movie. That new Star Wars movie made a lot of money. But see, that's not how you invest. Yeah, the new Star Wars made a lot of money. But did you look at the earnings of ESPN? Remember, Disney owns ESPN. It's a big part of Disney, their income stream. They're having a heck of a time. Do you even know that Disney owned ESPN? What are the income streams for Disney besides movies? They got movies, theme parks, television shows, ESPN. So which divisions are doing well? How much money are they making? See, it's more than, I just think I like it. It doesn't work that way. You can invest that way, you'll just lose money. Now, I will tell people, especially young people, well, to get you started, maybe you should buy a stock that is exciting to you, and you can start tracking it. But make sure you do it with a very little piece of money, not a lot, because I got to get you interested in the market. But the worst thing that could happen is you buy a stock and it gets cut in half, and then you say, see, you lose money in the market. I'm never going to go in there again. Okay, maybe that's not the worst. That's the second worst thing that could happen. The worst thing that can happen is you buy a stock and it goes up 150%. That's the worst thing that can happen to you, because then you think you're a genius, and then you invest in all kinds of stupid things and lose your money. So you gotta learn. It takes time, and there's no big rush. Start with indexes, because you have a good spread of risk. That's where you start if you're new. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk about SEC's fraud-busting investing tips for 2017. And some of these are just, they've been around for umpteen bazillion years, like the second one. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Now, if you haven't heard of that saying, then you live in a box somewhere. But investing, when people say, I have a secret or this unknown, recently uncovered method to make a lot of money, or I can show you how to use charts where you can trade and make a lot of money. All that is false. Can you make a lot of money using a trading system? Yes. But think about it this way. If it's such a good system that they want to sell you the system how to make money, then why don't they use it themselves? Why are they trying to sell it? Why don't you use it yourself and you make a bazillion dollars? Keep it secret if it's so good. Because once everybody knows something, it is not going to work. How about checking the background of the investment advisor, the custodian, everybody that you trust with your money to manage for you Find out about them. Check them out on SEC. Check them out on SEC website. Make them give you the ADV form. I know you don't know what that is, but I give it out to all my clients. If you're looking at, if you're investing based on what you see on Facebook, Twitter, or any of those kind of websites, you're going to lose every dime you ever have. There's a lot of fraud going on in there. A lot of fraud. Never buy a tip from a friend. That's been around forever. There's all kinds of things that you should not do. So I've talked about them on this radio ad nauseum over years now. Hopefully we're getting that. We're heading into part two of our Friday Invest Talk show. Plenty of time to get your question in. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART. That's 888-992-4278. We're live between the hours of 4 and 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. And again, the number is 888-992-4278.
Thanks for subscribing to our podcast. It'll continue in a moment. Underwritten by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. And Steve wants you to know about one of the most valuable services rendered by KPP Financial. And it's another free service beyond our InvestTalk program and our Insiders Informational Program. There's a way KPP can help you evaluate the risk in your current retirement portfolio. All you have to do is answer a few questions online and begin the analysis process. And then if you'd like, the folks at KPP Financial can correlate those results with your risk comfort level and the risk currently within your portfolio. It's all free, and it all begins on investtalk.com. Just click on the Invest Talk tab. End of commercial. Now let's get back to the podcast. On our next Invest Talk, four things millennials should know about retirement. That's one of our talking points. But we're open to your talking point, too. 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now.
888-99-CHART, we're going to go talk to Atul in San Francisco. How are you doing, Atul?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I do have my retirement investment in a Wells Fargo fund.
Okay.
And that stock fund is a EIVAX.
EIVAX?
EIVAX. And second one is EVSAX.
Okay, so those are mutual funds.
Right.
And okay, so the first one is Wells Fargo. Go ahead, I'm sorry. I want to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Right. And is that okay to stick with them, or I can take it out and go somewhere else?
Well, I was looking at somebody else's Wells Fargo's today, their accountant, and the thing I didn't care about it, and I can tell you right now also with yours, is they're loaded funds. You know what I mean by I say loaded, Atul?
Right. They charge some commission on that, right?
That's right. And this Wells Fargo International Value Fund is an A share. A share means they got 5% up front in commission. Now, you already paid it, so it's already done, Atul. So now if you sell this and go to another Wells Fargo fund, you're going to make sure they're not going to charge you a commission again. And they may well do so if you do, an A share. And don't let them sell you a C share either.
Right.
A share is 5% up front. C shares are 1% a year for 5 years in commissions to the salesman. This is what I don't like about Wells Fargo. Now, is this fund good, bad, and different?
Right.
Well, it's a decent fund.
But
there's nothing wrong with it.
This is a fund I have with them more than 10 years.
To more than 10 years? Well, there's not. It's a decent fund. Is the other one EVSAX?
Right, EVSAX.
Okay.
EIVAX.
Okay, that one is Wells Fargo 2, Discipline U.S. Core, meaning Core Holdings. So those are good funds, Atul. I'm not bad-mouthing the funds. I just don't like the fact that they're selling you high-commission funds when there's just as many no-load funds as there are loaded funds doing the same thing. In other words, you don't have to pay any commission. So, but you've already paid it. You've already had it. and these are good funds. I don't suggest that you leave. I do not.
Is the Vanguard index fund is good?
The Vanguard, if you're going to do indexing, Vanguard indexing, meaning by S&P 500 or the Dow or Russell 2000, whatever index you are, if you're going to index, then Vanguard is the best because their fees are the lowest and there are no loads. So, yes. Atul, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 888-99-CHART, everybody. Video game sales were really weak this Christmas. And the video game sales, what is the main outlet for video game sales? It's GameStop, the company GameStop. Their sales went down 16.4% in the 9 weeks ending in December 31st. Down 16%. Why? Main reason, all the games are going digital. Why do you go buy the video game at the store when you can buy it online? And everybody now is going to their portable, you know, devices, your phones, your pads, or whatever it is. So it's hurting GameStop pretty bad. Now, you've heard me talk about creative destruction. This is the reason why I'm bringing this up at all is just because it's an example of creative destruction. In other words, no one needs a little disc of a game anymore. You can download the game online and you'll never have to go to the store to buy it. So we are destroying a model of distribution of video games. And we came up with a new model. Now, what can GameStop do? They're not stupid. They know that, right? Well, they've already taken steps to try to address it. I mean, they've had, well, how do you do that? Remember, it's a destroying, it's a, you know, just creative destruction. Our society does this all the time. Our free economic system is how, that's how it works. So they have to be nimble. What do they got to do? Well, maybe you should sell something else. They are exactly what they're doing. They're selling Apple products, prepaid phones, memorabilia like Pokemon. They're trying to spread out so they won't be so dependent on games. But it's a very difficult transition. It's not any, there's no certainty of success here. But they're trying to adapt. And sometimes these companies do adapt. You know who really was a good adapter? It was Motorola for years and years and years and years. Motorola. Do you know how Motorola got started? Do you remember Motorola? Motorola got started with World War II with walkie-talkies for the soldiers. Okay, and they morphed into different things over the years. You know, from intercom systems initially, walkie-talkies, intercom systems, to the cell phones. And over the years, they kept morphing into different business models because, again, creative destruction. It's very common. You, as an investor, need to pay attention. Why would you invest in companies that have a business model that's being destroyed? So you have to know what that is. This is one of the reasons I like doing what I do. Because you get to stay on top of the new stuff that's coming out, and new ways of doing business. Let's talk about creative destruction in the automobile industry. Of course, you got to talk about electric cars. What are they destroying? Well, there's a debate between a lot of people if they're destroying the internal combustion engine or not. Some people don't think so. Some people think so. But it's a good example of, you know, a transition. We are definitely transitioning more to electric cars, are we not? It's going to take years and years and years, though. It's going to be slow, I think. About once a month, I travel to one of our satellite offices and sit down with listeners on a one-to-one basis and review the retirement plans, their accounts, talk about where they are in their financial life and maybe when they want to retire or when they might be forced to retire. I listen to their goals and needs, and I make suggestions. So looking at my calendar, I will be in San Ramon on January 31st. Remember, I was in San Jose just this week. If you'd like to set up a time to meet with me on that date, January 31st, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. That's with two T's, Invest Talk tab, then Portfolio Review.
Rick Bed, you're with us today for Invest Talk. And when you're an Invest Talk insider, you have opportunities to learn with concise, simplified reports written personally by Steve and Justin. Important topics, annuities, wills and trusts, retirement programs,
life insurance. There's an updated ETF list and much more. And with your Insider membership, you also get instant access to a whole library of recorded webinars. Anybody can sign up. Just go to investtalk.com and it's free.
Hey, Steve, this is David from Michigan, and I just had a question about shorting a stock. I was looking to short JP Morgan Chase, JPM. Seems like they've had a huge run-up since the election, and they seem to be at the high end of their five-year PE range, but I was just wondering if you think this is potentially a wise decision. Thanks.
Okay, all that's true. It is at the high end of its five-year PE range because it's 7 to 14, and it's right at 14. It's had a really great run since Trump came in, and I would say, no, don't short it. Seems to be contradictory, huh? Why do I say I don't think you should short it? Why? Especially since it's had this run-up. Shorting means that for everybody out there that doesn't know what it means that he thinks it's going to go down and you can make money if the stock price goes down. If you buy a stock long, you hope it goes up and you make money if it goes up. If you sell a stock short, you mean that you think it's going to go down and you make money if it goes down. Right? But if the stock keeps going up, you'll lose money if you sell something short. And I don't know if I have time to explain the definition here. But anyways, why don't I think you should short JP Morgan Chase, JPM? I don't think you should short any of the big banks. Do you remember before the election, I said, I think for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, I said, don't buy big banks. And then right after the election, I said, you know, I think I kind of time to maybe buy big banks. I think it's still time to own big banks. I don't know about buying them. And yes, in a correction, they could come down. But the reason why I wouldn't short them is because interest rates are rising, and they're going to be rising slow, and that's very good for big banks. They'll make more money. Trump has said he's going to deregulate. So he's probably going to change that Dodd-Graham Act, which really tied the hands of all the big banks and how they can make money. Remember, too big to fail, remember all that? So there's certain fundamental aspects going on that will push big banks higher, I think. So I'm not comfortable shorting them, even if after they've run up. Not comfortable with it. Yeah, it's at the top of its PE range. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it fell a little bit, but that would be an opportunity to buy the stock long. And I think it's just too much risk to sell it short. Let's go to James in New York. How you doing, James?
I'm doing fine. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
I wanted to know about this company, and it trades under so many different tickers, and I was hoping to understand, A, why that is, mm-hmm. and B, what it may mean. The company is called Alexium International Limited.
Spell that for me.
A-L-E-X. IUM, I believe.
Okay.
One of the tickers is AXIIF.
Okay.
And it's clearly, I don't know if you're able to locate that, but it's clearly, obviously, it's a penny stock, but it doesn't move at all. Is that a common type of thing that a company would trade under multiple tickers? Is there a reason for that?
Well, Unilever trades under two stickers, UN and UL.
Sure.
And there's also British Petroleum trades under So it's not uncommon, James. It's not uncommon. The stock that you're talking about, see that F at the very end of it?
Yes, I do.
That indicates to me that it's foreign. Usually an F at the end of a symbol, it means it's foreign. And if it's a penny stock, it's not traded on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. It's traded on what we call the pink sheets. How much is it selling
right.
for? How much is it selling for, James?
I think it's selling for like 52 cents. I don't buy penny stocks at all, so yeah. I was just looking, and
okay.
in my research, I stumbled upon, this. But, I mean, that's what it is, and it's a ticker that nobody trades. It's very thinly traded.
Yeah, very thinly. Penny stocks are they're way too easily manipulated, especially if they're not traded on an exchange, because there are certain rules for the exchange. One of the rules on the New York Stock Exchange is it's got to sell for $5 or more per share. On the NASDAQ, it's like $2 or $3. But you asked initially, why would it be under separate symbols? Well, they could be different share classes. Sometimes they have a class of shares that are have voting rights, another class of shares that have no voting rights when it comes to decisions made by the company. So there's different reasons. The one that for instance, Unilever, the only reason it has two is because one, it's a corporation both in the Netherlands and in Great Britain. In Great Britain, the tax rate is zero, corporate tax rate. In the Netherlands, it's 15%. So it's UN. UN is the symbol in the Netherlands, where they pay 15%, and it's UL in England, and UL in the United States, and UN in the United States. But you better know which one you want to buy.
Sure.
So in UL,
there's no chance that that would be considered an ADR, for instance. Would that be an example?
It
of an
could
ADR?
Be. Okay. A foreign stock traded on our exchanges has to be an ADR, American Depository Receipt. And, James, I think we're probably losing a lot of people, huh? Okay, ADR is a foreign...
I understand. I'm lost, too. But just in the interest of better understanding when I look at something for myself, that's my goal.
Yeah, so an ADR, okay, is a foreign stock traded on our exchange. So they have to meet GAAP, general accounting principle, bookkeeping... And the exchange requires certain divulging of information to match all the other companies on in the United States. And if a bank will sponsor an ADR, it will take millions of those shares and maybe combine them to be 10 shares representing one share because it may be too low price for us because it's got to be over $5.
Right.
You know, and then our bank, J.P. Morgan or somebody, will offer it on the exchange to trade, in which you and I and everybody else can buy. That's an ADR, even though it's a foreign company.
Sure.
That's how that works. Appreciate the call, James. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Good questions. Stay away from penny stocks, everybody. Do not buy a penny stock. Don't let anybody talk you into buying a penny stock. Stay away from the pink sheets. And yes, I know there's good big companies on the pink sheets, but stay away from them because there's not much transparency. In other words, you can't see what they're doing. They don't have to report everything. So you don't know what they're doing. Stay away from them. Leave that area of the market to the experts or the foolish. Let them take care of that. You stick with the market stocks that you can read and see and transparent. Okay? Okay, ways to get your spouse to save money. Either male or female. I've seen it both ways, by the way. I've met with a lot of people. Sometimes the male spends a lot of money. Sometimes the female. And if it's a gay couple, many times any couple, you usually don't have the same spending habits. But you got to get on the same page. You've got to get on the same page. And if you have somebody who's not on the same page as you, I'm going to give you some hints on how to make that happen. It's not easy, but you can do it. I've seen it done. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We're going to talk about that coming up on the last section. You're listening to Invest Talk. The invitation is always open, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 888-99-CHART. Why not check in now? Okay, ways to get your spouse to save money. First of all, you got to be able to talk to them, everybody. You got to sit down and talk to them and tell them this is a serious topic that you want to discuss. Number one thing you don't do, is nag them, is to browbeat them, telling them they're doing something stupid. You know, if you want to start an argument, yeah, go ahead and do it that way. You want to start a big battle royal in your family? Yeah, do it that way. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So don't nag them, number one. Number two, figure out why they have this spending habit. Why do they have this spending habit? They have it for a reason. They can't save for a reason. There's something going on. It might be because they were poor growing up and they just want to, you know, spend now. It might be that they have very little self-worth. And having things give them self-worth. If you can find out that core problem, then you can address that problem and things will change for you. One thing you can do is find common ground. Agree on some goals, some basic goals. Okay, why don't we do this? I know you like to spend, but I want to save. can we like save a couple hundred dollars a month, just $200 a month, and put it away every month, like a bill, something like that. If you can't even get that far, bring in a third party, not one that'll support you and not one that'll support the other party. Find someone who's kind of neutral, and maybe they can help convince. Now, a lot of people hate talking about their finances to anybody. They certainly don't talk to their kids about finances, which they should, but you can bring in a third party. Okay. Also, you can make savings or investing automatic, where it's, you don't even see it. Comes out of your paycheck in a 401k, or you can just have it have an automatic savings account come out of your checking or savings account at the bank. All else fails, everybody. All else fails, you can't talk your spouse into doing anything, then just do it yourself. Do it yourself, because you are going to get older with or without that spouse, and you're going to need money in your old age. Okay, your questions always come first, everybody, and of course they come last too. So let's take the last couple of minutes and answer one more question. We're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Hey guys, this is Dave. I'm a podcast listener from Pennsylvania. I had a question regarding this so-called ETF bubble that I've been hearing quite a bit about lately. I'm not sure I understand this at all. Admittedly, I have left a lot of the mutual funds that I invest in simply because I'm generally indexing them in it anyway. But I like the ETFs because they're easier to use. They're basically cheaper from what I understand. And they're investing really in the same thing when you talk about an indexing. They're investing in stocks. So how can there be something called an ETF bubble when basically these ETFs are investing in stocks or using stocks as their sources? Why have I never heard anything about a mutual fund bubble? Not sure I understand. I know Justin has touched upon this in a couple episodes, but let's hope someone could clear this up. Thanks again. Bye.
I think we're talking about apples and oranges here. When we talk about an ETF bubble, I don't think we're talking about, if I don't know what Justin said, but you could talk about a bubble in the market because the prices are higher. That's okay. Or a bubble in the bond market because it's unsustainable. Or you can talk about an ETF bubble where there's way too many ETFs being issued, keep slicing and dicing the market, and it's just not going to be sustainable for that many ETFs. It not necessarily, it's just the price, because the ETFs, as you pointed out correctly, represent underlying stocks or indexes, whatever. And they could be in a bubble. So I'm not sure if we got the context right when you talk about an ETF bubble. So I don't know. How's that for an answer? 888-99-CHART is our number, everybody. 888-992-4278. Real quick, life lessons learned late. Number one, before I think we only have, what, a minute left, guys? Okay, first, time passes very fast. You don't notice that until you get older. You say, well, look at all that time that passed. I think that's about older than. Maybe I'll save the rest for the next time. Our time is up for this hour, everybody. A reminder, I will be reviewing portfolios in San Ramon on January 31st. But before that, I have time set aside for reviews by Skype and telephone. Why not avail yourself of the free service? There's never a cost for any of this. Appointments are limited. So go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and set up an appointment. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. Justin Klein and I and everybody at KPP want to thank you for listening today. And let's meet again here on Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.